A little idle chatter about the people that we know. And though it doesn't matter, is there a different way of saying hello?
You're listening to a podcast of The View, brought to you by the Church of the Larger Fellowship. To subscribe to this podcast, visit www.questformeaning.org or search for Church of the Larger Fellowship in the iTunes Store.
Oh, hey, we're live. Ah, good morning. This is Meg Riley here in Minneapolis, Minnesota. So let's introduce ourselves. Joanna.
Hi, I'm Joanna Fontaine Crawford. I'm here in much warmer, but still a nice little chill in the air, Austin, Texas, where our governor has just announced that because Austin is a sanctuary city, that he is cutting $1.5 million of funding. So, and the beat goes on.
Joanna, we're all Texans now. Michael Tino, what's up?
Good morning, everyone. This is Michael Tino. I'm joining you from bright and sunny Peekskill, New York, where our governor, I believe, is running for president in 4 years because he is doing everything he possibly can to resist the agenda of this administration. And I, for one, appreciate that, even if I don't appreciate my governor all the time.
So today's special guests are Twinkle Marie Manning and Peter Bowden, who have started this cool new thing called UU Talks. But before we get to that, let's just have some UU talking. Here in Minnesota, we're kind of halfway between New York and Texas, I'd say. We have Republicans have now taken over the House and Senate, but we have a Democratic governor who's good. Today, we're having this bill that I bring up because Peter Montgomery mentioned these. They're happening everywhere. It's this preemption bill, which means that even though Minneapolis is a sanctuary city and wants to have a living wage, the state now can dictate all kinds of things the cities can't decide for themselves. It's one of the right's ways to stop the liberal cities in red states. And so I'm going to go over to that hearing, put on my collar. I've now ordered 3 more collar shirts because it's just clear that I need them in every color and shape and size. And just this is going to be a daily activity to slap it on and go stand somewhere. But this preemption law I just think is so weird because here are the states' rights people suddenly turning into top down, and the sheer hypocrisy of everything that they're doing, even if it weren't in content so offensive, the hypocrisy of demanding, you know, that the Supreme Court guy come in right away, the hypocrisy of completely reversing themselves. I hope their own people are noticing that. I don't think so, but I have to hope so, that there are still some smart people who are going, wait a minute, that's not what we've always said. Wait, I thought we didn't like the Russians. Wait, I'm hoping that somewhere where I can't see it, that kind of conversation is going on. I know that everywhere I go, I'm talking about it. Whether I'm at my aerobics class or wherever I am, I'm just bringing it up. And wherever I am, people are scared. I mean, I'm reading this book called Hegemony, and it's talking about stopping activism as a discrete activity and just having our lives be activism. That breaking down activism into this professionalized activity that some people do is not what we need. We need to kind of knit the place back together. So that's what I'm doing along with all of the marches and everything.
In Texas, okay, so you know how all of our heads are just swirling because just the news stories are just coming so fast, just executive order after press conference. So imagine on top of that, you have a state legislature that only meets every other year and only for, I can't remember how many days it is, but it's basically less than 6 months. And so, of course, kind of the joke that isn't a joke is we only let them have that much time to keep their trouble at bay. And so they have, so in addition to all of the national, we have all the state stuff just coming one after another. A bathroom bill, sanctuary cities, something today about changing our textbooks so that evolution is once again just interesting idea. And I think that what you're saying, I'm seeing this in my congregants about simply making activism another layer of your life, because we still have to get up and go to work and take our kids to soccer practice and do all of those things. And so it's okay, how do we just integrate this?
Yeah, it is just becoming part of the day, part of the day. Al Franken put out that he got 3,000 phone calls and 50,000 emails about Betsy DeVos. Quite a time. Michael, how is it being a dad of a young kid right now?
I'm trying not to be too scared. I'm really, you know, especially with, you know, the DeVos nomination, hopefully is now one vote away from failing, which is some good news. But, you know, I think about like what public schools are going to be when she starts public schools. And I live in a working class town. This is not the wealthy part of Westchester County. So I'm scared about what our schools are going to be, what she's going to grow up with. And I'm trying to focus on the present to get her the services she needs right now as a 3.5-year-old to be involved in my community, so that if those things happen to our schools, I'm involved in the community and I can have a voice here. And you know, one of the things about activism, now hearing you all talk, it's so interesting, because I live in, you know, one of the bluest of the blue states. My junior senator is the senator who's voted against the most Trump nominees of anyone in the Senate. And my senior senator is the head of the Senate Democrats. My activism has to take a different form than, you know, calling Kirsten Gillibrand to thank her every day, which I probably could, and she might appreciate. My activism takes different forms, and I'm finding it's getting much more local. You know, I need this community to serve my child, you know, and I need this community to serve the children in the congregation I serve. I spent this morning at Mount Kisco Elementary School doing a presentation to the fourth and fifth grades on hunger in our community. And we talked a lot about the local interfaith food pantry. And we talked about why people are hungry and why people don't have enough to eat. It really did my heart good working with fourth and fifth graders. Talk about living activism.
Yeah, absolutely. I wrote a newsletter column today and said, you know, this is a time to be grateful that we're alive, even though we wouldn't have picked it, you know, but it's our time. It's the time that we were handed. So what are we going to do with it? You know, what are we going to make of it? And I always think of that Mary Daly line, take your life and throw it as far as you can. And I feel like Unitarian Universalism is doing that right now. I'm hearing from so many people whose congregation is packed, who are having, you know, training for the community on what to do if you witness street violence, who are, you know, engaging in going to protests together, who are having the local sheriff come, you know, who are just engaging. And if you see me on Facebook, I'm calling, I think it's time for massive strikes. I just don't see anything else that's going to be effective. I don't think waiting for Democratic leadership is a good idea at all. Those of us who have waited for, and I don't say this disparagingly because I was there for 21 years, but when we've sat back and waited for the UUA to lead us places, how many of us have decided to just create something ourselves? Because they're not going to get to it, even if they want to. And if they don't want to, they won't ever get to it. So I just think it's a time for lots of creative leadership to emerge. And I'm excited about, here in Minneapolis, the leadership that's been emerging through Black Lives Matter and through the Standing Rock and Native Lives Matter movement and all these ways that we've learned to see what real leadership looks like and what resistance looks like.
Speaking of creative new things in Unitarian Universalism that people have taken the initiative to create themselves, maybe we should bring in our guests, Meg.
Sure, we can do that. It's about time that we do that. So they are two creative people, and they've recently created something called UU Talks that they're here to talk to us about today. Twinkle Marie Manning, I don't know where you live. You'll have to tell us.
I reside in Maine right now.
Oh, in Maine. Okay. So you're there in Maine. And Peter Bowden, who I know is in the Boston area, yep. Have both been doing television production for quite a while. And I know I've known Peter for years. Twinkle Murray, yeah. You're new. So I'm excited about that. But Peter has worked and created all kinds of things. He's a very entrepreneurial kind of guy. And it's been fun to follow it and support it. he's made videos. He started and really worked hard on small group ministry. Yeah. He does a lot of media consulting, including talking to me about the CLF a number of times. So tell us, both of you, about UU Talks.
I want to tell you that for years, as I've been working with our congregations, leading trainings, talking about media and how to integrate media into our congregations, time and time again, people brought up TED Talks. We need something like TED Talks for Unitarian Universalism. We need to do more than just film sermons and put them out there. We need to take the best our faith has to offer in terms of our ideals, our values, and put it out there in a social media optimized way like TED Talks. And I said, I agree, but I've never been to a TED Talk. I don't know how that works. There's some knowledge that we need. And so I kept saying, so you should go do that. Someone do that. I'll help promote it when you do it. And you know, there have been plenty of examples of Unitarian Universalists experimenting with TED-like talks from GA Talks and various things. So it's important to acknowledge that other people are experimenting too. But you know, not too long ago, Twinkle contacted me to, and I never met her, to say that she was interested in moving forward with a project to bring her TED knowledge to Unitarian Universalism and start a new project.
Wait, what TED knowledge?
That's it. And so, which is a perfect segue into my going, oh my gosh, who is this Twinkle Marie Manning person and what knowledge does she have? And is this the holy grail in terms of making this kind of thing happen that people have been bugging me about, which I've lacked the knowledge. Like, I know media, but I don't know the TED Talk event planning and all the such. And so, Twinkle, why don't you tell us about your whole TED experience?
Well, I've been a television producer and an event planner for 2 decades. And about, I don't know, 6 years ago, I got turned on to TED. And I organized an event a couple of years after that in Concord, Massachusetts. And because I was a member of First Parish in Concord at the time, most of the people I knew and were friends with were Unitarian Universalists. And we're a pretty cool bunch of people. It turned out that of the 15 TED speakers we had, half of them were Unitarian Universalists. And they each spoke just really articulately, really powerfully. And I have had this spirit inside me just wanting to share Unitarian Universalism with the world for so long. And I thought this would be the perfect way to do that. And so, like TED and like many of the other events that I do that are live studio audience driven events, that we then take the video content and share it with the world online and through various television stations as well, I brought that to Peter and said, hey, would you like to do this with me? And he said, sure.
I did not. That's not true. I did not say sure. I said, are you serious? People have been bugging me about this for years. You have the TED knowledge. Let's like take all that knowledge, because you've continued to do TEDx organizing through to this present day.
Well, I'm a little excited about it too. So what are you doing?
We have arranged to have our inaugural event at the UUA on April 28th. We have curated a wonderful group of speakers. And the idea behind this first event is it's our model talks. This is our demonstration, so to say, of how I guess I can say easy it is to organize one of these events. So the talk is going to be at the UUA at Farnsworth Street. It's going to roll out exactly as a UU talk could take place in a local congregation or an organization's event. There's some UU organizations that have already been contacting us saying, hey, we heard about your UU talk. Can we incorporate that into our retreat or our workshop? And so absolutely you can. And so we have basically a how-to guideline that we will send to groups and congregations that want to host an event like this. And again, it's about sharing our principles and our values with the world. Earlier, you're talking about what our country and our world is going through right now. And there's a lot of fear. There's a lot of concern. One thing that we can do is remember who we are and share that with the world.
So what would that look like?
Yeah, I was going to say we should talk about the larger model, like the bigger picture. Some of you might remember years ago, I set up a website, this is before Facebook, to help curate Unitarian Universalist videos. It was called unitarianuniversalism.tv. So it's just a video aggregator. So there's a period where, you know, I was basically watching the beginning of all of these sermon videos. You know, when YouTube came about, at first you could find Unitarian Universalist videos very easily. You just type Unitarian and the great content would be there. With it exploding and people holding events at UU congregations, all of a sudden it's like every single event, you type Unitarian Universalism and every event held at like the Philadelphia Church and other places, like, oh, Satan's Sons at Unitarian, you know, whatever the band is, and it became increasingly harder to find. So I started curating all of these videos. I was kicking myself because those videos, I mean, the sermons were really designed for people who are locked in their pews. You know, people are looking at content surrounded by other things to click and jump to. And if we don't get to the point quickly, we lose them. Unitarian Universalist sermon videos recorded live in a congregation are not optimized for anyone who's exploring the internet, unless you know that you care about this specific thing. I mean, talking about mass exposure of our ideas. So, you know, what we want to do and are working on is taking all of the great people we have access to, both our clergy, our members, our friends, people in our larger communities, our networks, and saying, let's take the people who have these ideas and messages to share and put it out there in a way that is designed for an internet audience like TED. And so the vision is, and this is what excites me, is it's not Twinkle and I are going to pick specific people that are going to lead talks and we're going to be holding the power. What we're doing is saying, we, if any congregation or UU organization wants to put on a series of talks, the UU Talks Project will partner with you, give you the how-to, give you a model, give you coaching. And what happens is, so you get support in putting on a great UU Talk event. With a range of speakers, you sell tickets to help make the whole thing happen. And through that process and sponsorship ticket sales, it funds the distribution, I mean, the video production and distribution of the media and the project support, so that you have this sustainable way to hold events, raising the bar for event production and media production, and helping our congregations and any Unitarian Universalist group that wants to create amazing content using this model. And so really to teach our congregations, here's how you organize an event. Here's how you work with speakers. Here's how you design a talk so that, you know, if we're talking about gender issues, well, let's put out an amazing talk by this person on gender issues. You can organize a whole UU Talk event around gender issues and then get all that content to share with the world. And so UU Talk, and this is the part that I love, UU Talks is the partner to help distribute it and is developing the channels to put it out there. And so it's raising the bar for UU media, doing coaching, distribution, and just covered in awesome sauce. Oh my God.
It's so covered in awesome sauce. So it's really exciting to hear. So your part of it will be people will hire you as a consultant to help with that.
So first, a shout out to Faithify. We had a successful Faithify campaign during GA to give us initial funding to get organized, and Twinkle started on organizing the first set of talks. And I should say that the big vision is to get our congregations and other organizations to hold talks regularly. So there are all kinds of talks happening all over the country with Twinkle supporting them and helping to coach. But then we also want to make sure that as the coordinators, and I'm a collaborator or advisor on the project, we're also periodically holding a model set of talks ourselves, so we can all say, this is how you do it. Look, this is how, you know, this is the standard for the media production. This is, you know, we've worked with these people, and so this is how we do it. So there's mentoring. But so we have the Faithify funding, and longer term, I think would be successful is to use the Patreon crowdfunding site. What Patreon does is it lets content creators say, hey, if you become one of my patrons, every time I produce a new piece of media, or it could be a song, something, some kind of content, you pledge to give that person $1 or $4 or $5. So imagine if we could get 1,000 Unitarian Universalists to say, I'll give you $1 every time you produce a new UU Talk video. We work with a congregation, put on a great set of talks, and there are 6 talks during that event. And when they give us the media, as those are published through our channels, our UU Talk patrons pay their $1, and all of a sudden there's $6,000, which pays for all of the work Twinkle's done to make it happen. We've got graphic design. And then what I like is having a pot of money for every single talk. So say that Michael leads a talk. We then say, oh, now we've got this talk. And because we have 1,000 Unitarian Universalists supporting every talk at a dollar, we now have all this money that we can use to do targeted, say, Facebook promotion to make sure everybody who cares about the issue that Michael just talked about sees it on Facebook. Not just to UUs, but whatever Michael's talk is about, we're promoting it. And so longer term, the more Unitarian Universalists we get involved, give us a dollar each time a new talk comes out. And you can all say, I'm only going to do that up to $5 a month. It's just making so that we have greater and greater capacity to coach congregations, to support the distribution, to and just get more and more sophisticated with our media production. So for me, that's exciting that it's helping our congregations and just faith as a whole take our media and messaging to the next level and just sharing it in a way that beyond what we're doing now.
Just following everything you're saying, I want to take it back to the congregation level and also other UU groups that will be wanting to incorporate these types of media. UU Talks for a Congregation can be a really innovative fundraising and revenue mechanism for a congregation. So you host an event, you have money coming in from sponsors who want to support it, from the people who attend the events. We're all looking for ways to enhance how we fund our congregation. Stewardship is important, and this is one way that we can do that. That's fun, and it's in a way that has longevity to it. So the other aspect of, well, how do we grow Unitarian Universalism? How do we get people in our community to even know we're here? I'm in Maine. We have really tiny congregations spread out an hour apart from each other. Tiny. The church up the road from me, like 6 people might show up on a Sunday. It's a beautiful old congregation. I travel an hour to go to another congregation, and they have maybe 20 people show up on a Sunday. Well, how can we get more people to come through our doors? It's when you have, so what I will do with the congregations, in addition to help them with the actual event planning, like the steps to help them facilitate it, is then to help them put into a system a way to promote themselves, promote the events, yes, promote the online version of the output that we put online, you know, high quality video for the world to see. But how can they let their local community know? And so we have a system set up to do that with press releases and articles and actually even airing these television sets in people's homes, like streaming them online, yes, but also through cable networks. So it's a multifaceted way to just enhance how we, as a faith, share good news with the world and share our values.
So great. You know, I'd love for, I'll talk to you guys too afterwards about CLF being a partner in distribution, because we have found, if we thought initially we would get the videotaped sermons that ministers had made and use them for worship online, but as you say, no one would watch them. So in order to do that, we had to do so much, you know, redoing of them that it frankly was easier just to create our own stuff where it's shorter, you're looking right at the camera, you're not reading, you know, all the things that aren't happening. It's not like a long view. I think this kind of footage would be so great. And there are congregations, I think of Tulsa, where they've actually got a crew that are working on making their online worship actually not just looking down a long camera at stuff, but actually to engage people in it. But the idea of all this content, I'm like, yay!
Yeah, tons of content. I could see developing small group programs around each talk.
Yeah, I was going to ask both of you, you know, whenever we start something, we have kind of our reasonable hopes. And then at least in the back of our minds, we have our really kind of audacious, crazy ones. Mm-hmm. What's your crazy, audacious vision of what happens here?
I'd like to see congregations worldwide hosting UU Talks and sharing them with everyone. And then the next step beyond, and that's not an unrealistic thing. We have friends in Ireland and the UK that will watch this video and learn about it. And Canada, oh my goodness, I grew up in Canada. I have friends in Canada. Audacious hope is that they take it to their congregations and they do it there. When you're an entrepreneur and when you're thinking about a project, you always think 10 steps ahead. There's always, what else could we do? Now we've done that, what else can we do? Peter touched on it about small group ministry. when you look at the landscape of different UU congregations, they'll have an overarching theme, but then they'll, each of them will have a, some of them might have Black Lives Matter. Some of them might have social justice, other social justice issues. Some might want to talk specifically about our values and our principles and the history of our faith. So if we have six different congregations and each of them touch on Black Lives Matter, for instance, we can package that up in a way online so that they can download just that, you know, those six Black Lives Matter talks or these six UU history talks, and then take it back to a small group ministry or a covenant group or host an event just around those and screen those talks. So those are some of the different things that could happen above and beyond the first event and the first airing.
And one of the things that I'm excited about is we very intentionally wanted to make sure that this project stayed identified as a UU project. This is something that's coming from Unitarian Universalists, but have the talks not be all uni this, uni that, uni, but more about our ideas and values and justice work and all these different issues we care about and the work we're doing. And yes, there can be some that are more, whether it's UU history or talking about something congregational or ministry-wise, but to have a whole range of talks that are really put out there for a larger non-UU audience. So what happens when you take the best of who we are and the messages that we have and take all the layers of church off of it? And what happens? How do people connect with that in new ways? Because a lot of my work is helping congregations understand the psychology of how someone who hasn't been used to going to church, how do they bump when they check out your website and social media and they come to your congregation, like all the trappings of traditional church that freaks some people out. And like, how do we put ourselves out there in a way that stripped down? Like if you look at a TED Talk stage, there's the talk branding and there's just the person. There's no all kinds of fancy pre-roll. There's not an organ playing. There's not this, there's not that, no robes, you know, but just the person and the idea or whatever they have to share. And so I want that for Unitarian Universalism. But also with the hope that all kinds of people who just don't get, who might know who we are, sort of, will come to really say, like, I got to connect with this community. I just have to. And I think there are people who are looking to do that now. A lot of the stuff that's been happening lately with politics, on Twitter, I've been connecting with more and more people who are looking at what Unitarian Universalists are talking about in our present political context. And I'm seeing people are like, I'm finally going to check out a UU church. Like, the present day is calling for it.
So I'm interested in your decision to call it UU Talks as the queen of standing on the side of love and quest for meaning, and let's not get that 10 syllables on top of this or however many it is. But you decided you're going to really target that to begin, at least.
When I had the Unitarian Universalism TV site, by the time I ended up closing it because people ended up were sharing videos via Facebook, and that was basically taking care of the curation. And when I looked at the stats for the site, 98% of the views of people going to that site were looking at Voices of a Liberal Faith, your uni what video, and maybe two others. 98%. But then when I took it down, a lot of people were like, why did you take that down? And what surprised me is they said, I loved showing people that site when they were curious about Unitarian Universalism because it represented us so well. It showed here talks about, you know, justice work. Here are sermons. Here are religious education videos. And there are a few categories. Here is presenting who we are in a way that was easy to understand, but it was all sermon content. I see UU Talks as a way to say, here's what we care about. And we are claiming a UU identity. We're not talking uni this, uni that, but talking about the values, the ideas, the issues, which I think will make it very accessible, but saying, hey, this is a project grounded in Unitarian Universalism, and the engines that are going to be generating the content are our congregations and other UU institutions.
So which congregations, Twinkle? Is it large, small, medium? What's ideal for this? Anybody?
You know, it's truly accessible for all size congregations. I mean, obviously our larger congregations, they have someone in place usually to facilitate event planning or oversee the committees that would have fundraisers or speaker type activities. But they're really ideal and accessible for small congregations, lay-led congregations even. Perhaps even, I won't say more beneficial for either because they're beneficial for both, but for a lay-led congregation who's really looking for a means of bringing more people through their doors, this is a really creative way to do that in a way that isn't, I'll say in a way that isn't doing church. I love church. I love going to church on Sunday and hearing the beautiful music. And I love everything that has to do with a Sunday service. It's meaningful to me, but it's not meaningful to everyone. And we hear that every time someone says to us, well, yeah, I don't go to church on Sundays. Well, come on Wednesday night and listen to these really inspirational talks. And so, yes, so the answer is all congregations and all groups could incorporate UU talks into the way they're doing church.
How much time do you think? I mean, I'm picturing that six-person congregation you mentioned down the road from you. Maybe that's extreme. But, you know, like how many people putting in how much time would?
You know, it really depends on what the vision is. And that's the first question that we would ask any congregation or group who wanted to host talks is, what is your goal for this? Is this going to, we have a congregation who's interested in using it as their annual fundraising drive. So their goal might be different than someone who just wants to, than another congregation who just really wants to see if people will come through their door on a Wednesday night or Friday night. And how many speakers do you want to have? The beauty of this is the local congregations, as Peter said earlier, we're not saying, hey, this is the slate of really cool UU people in the world and people who are aligned with our values. You should have them as your speakers. No, it's the local congregations and groups that decide which voices to lift up and put and spotlight in these videos. You could have a UU Talks with just 2, 3, or 4 speakers come in and 20 people attend. That's not difficult for even one person to organize something that size. It's really accessible and attainable to do that. Or you could have a day-long UU Talks with lunch break in between and community building and incorporate it into maybe a larger, you know, retreat that you do for your congregation or your group. So, which will take more time to plan because it's, you know, if you have 2, 3, or 4 speakers that you're curating, you know, you want to know ahead of time, you want to see what they're going to talk about. So you want to check for content quality and relevance. Especially if you have a theme, you want their content to be relevant to that theme. You want to have a test run with them to see, and this is the thing, when you are curating, you already know somewhat whether or not your speaker is articulate. That's something you really want to know before you put them in front of an audience. And so that's where Peter and I can also come in and do some coaching. We will first coach, you know, for streamlining it, the first step is coaching the actual event planners in the congregations who are going to be hosting these events. But the next step to that is if they have someone who has a really powerful message to share, but perhaps is not a skilled or experienced speaker, we can help them to step into that, you know, so stepping into the leadership in that way.
I see that we have a question from Tim Atkins, well familiar to us for his passion around social media things. He says, so before this, I assumed UU Talks was going to be more inwardly focused just because of the name, not geared toward broader community or seekers. When this gets to other congregations, how can congregations make sure that these are external focused, not just talks for current members of the congregation?
I think the answer is it's both. And it's what do you feel called to speak about? So there's tremendous value in looking for ways to lift up what Unitarian Universalism means to us as individuals, as congregations, and as a whole faith. And then also beyond that, what other ways do our values and principles connect with the outer world that aren't specifically Unitarian Universalists or exclusively Unitarian Universalists. So again, we'll leave that to the individual congregations to distinguish which way they want to go. Do they want to host a talk that's all about their excitement and enthusiasm for Unitarian Universalism? Or do they want to have it a mixed venue where it's both? Or do they want to really take on a topic, maybe especially, you know, a social justice issue? Right. Thinking of our environmentalist groups that might want to really just have a whole event around that. So I hope I'm answering the question.
And it seems like now in this time of resistance, that there's a real opportunity for these talks to be used for educating others. about how, and yes, I'm totally thinking of, you know, the end of Independence Day where the president says, okay, we did this, now, you know, get on the horn, let the others know how it's done. But my congregation is located in a capital town. And so we have a member who has been hard at work for years trying to get a bill turned into a law. I would turn to her to say, hey, can you do something like this to explain to someone who has no idea what is involved, you know, the steps that you take.
Absolutely. It's something where you could invite your local government officials who are actively promoting the causes that are important to, you know, your town, your area, your congregation, your people, and have them come and speak about that as well. So yeah, it's not exclusive to UUs, but it's founded in our values.
I hope, Peter, your coaching around growth will be so important here, because a lot of our folks are terrible at this. I mean, I'll just say this. The UUA, Michael, you might have even been overseeing it. Used to have money for groups, for young adult groups to do public witness events. Mm-hmm. And congregations could not figure out how to look out and welcome people. I mean, I have been so embarrassed in so many congregations about the inward, clicky, this is at public events. And so that kind of coaching, I think Tim's point is really good about how they understand greeting, talking to each other. I mean, right. I have just been mortified so many times.
Lots of horror stories in terms of church greeting and growth. Getting back to Tim's question, I think that you could even have some people using UU Talks to help build interest in starting a congregation, you know, having a small group who's meeting saying, hey, we're going to hold a UU talk and bringing people from the larger community and just start meeting people. And I think just because it's the larger project is UU Talks, that doesn't mean all the events are going to be Unitarian Universalist talks, chalices, this, that. But, you know, hey, we're having a set of talks, this event, which is looking at the importance of spiritual leadership in the climate justice movement. And there's all these different speakers, da, 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 and it's part of the, you know, UU Talks series, or, you know, however UU Talks is listed, the promotion doesn't need to be all Unitarian Universalism. It shouldn't be, I think. Now, I was pushing for keep it a UU branded project, because one thing that I've experienced in recent years is, as we've been trying to do more and more work with climate justice specifically, our association and multiple organizations came together and created the Commit to Respond campaign. And I continually meet people who don't realize that's a Unitarian Universalist campaign because it doesn't say any UU in the name and branding. And so there are people who, no matter how much they communicate and share information about climate justice, you know, and it's mostly Unitarian Universalists coming together around climate justice, the people we want to be engaging with that campaign, there's some people who just miss it. So we're trying to work with congregations and other UU organizations to put on events to generate content that is grounded in UU values. We just want to be explicit. All right, we're collaborating amongst Unitarian Universalists primarily to do this larger thing. So I think that's why the UU talk name was important.
Yeah, and we had talked about it for a while. It was the first thing that I presented to Peter, but we went back and forth a little bit on the branding of it and what, you know, this is our faith, this is our roots, it's founded in this. And it's a fun play on words, and most of the people we talk with, it's, you know, UU Talks, kind of like TED Talks for UUs, and they get it right away. So it's a fun thing to say. There's plenty of people doing talks like this. And I've been doing this for a long time for these different types of events, like I said, for going on 2 decades, hosting live studio audience events, promoting different types of video and media projects. And for me, it's a heart project. Like, this whole project is heart-based. You know, I can take all my secular skills and I can apply it to broadening the good messages that we have to share. And if I could just talk for a minute about the event that we're having at the UUA and talk about our speakers that we're having. So we don't have all of our speakers confirmed yet, but five of our speakers are Anna Huckabee Tull, who is an award-winning songwriter and life coach. She lives in Concord, as does Jim Tull, who's an international conflict management specialist. And he provides assistance and training in the areas of negotiation, communication, and consensus building, which is ideal considering our theme is collaboration. We have the amazing Matt Meyer, who's pretty well-known UU musician, and he's the organizer. You know, he's a preacher, one of the founding members of the Lucy Stone Cooperative in Roxbury, so he knows what collaboration is about. And Reverend Allison Palm and Reverend Hank Pierce will also be speakers at this event. So we're really super excited about this.
And I want to say that though, first ever UU Talk event, you know, with speakers is coming up in April. It's April 28th, is that right? Yeah, April 28th. When we launched the Faithify campaign over the summer, I was at General Assembly talking to people and just explaining the model with lots of people one-on-one. There are congregations, lay leaders, ministers all over the country who are getting excited for this, but we're kind of waiting for us to do the first talk and get our model talk set, get the materials done. So
that'll be live streamed then?
We're not live streaming. We're just focusing on, because really we're trying to do this inaugural event the way we would model, we have other people model it. So it's like, all right, we're going to do it and then use that to help us write up everything and put the model out and then mentor congregations and other organizations. You could do live streaming, but it adds a whole layer of complexity and resources. And so, you know, if a congregation wanted to do, I think, an event where they're filming the talks for distribution, you know, high quality media, and they wanted to somehow live stream it, hey, well, I don't think there's anything wrong with that. But, you know, just keeping it a little, you know, simpler, just getting high quality video production happening at a UU event with the speakers. I mean, that's enough to do right there. And all you know, it takes a little bit of work to get the streaming done right. There are congregations and other people who are excited to move forward with the UU Talks, but they have to wait until after April, right?
Well, there might be one group that does their UU Talks before us, but I can't say it just yet. So in a way, we're teachers. We're teaching people how to do this. And what's the best measure of a teacher is if the students surpass the teacher. So if we have groups that are really eager to get started with this. Yeah, there might be a small UU Talks in March, and we'll post it on the website if they follow through with that. But most congregations are waiting until we have this first batch of videos ready and the first talk. And so a lot of them are coming in. I mean, one of our speakers, Reverend Allison Palm, she's coming from New Hampshire. So we already have a range coming in. So we'll have people from all over New England coming to see how the model talks are done.
Yeah, I'm hearing three sort of levels of engagement here. And I'm excited about all three, but I want to spend a minute exploring the third. The first is a congregation puts on an event with speakers and films it. And you coach them through how to get engaging speakers and how to film things properly. And that congregation is then creating UU Talks. The second I'm hearing is a congregation uses existing UU Talks to have an event. It could be small group ministry, could be that six member congregation doesn't need to find new speakers. They could actually show the talk from other congregations and use that as an event to draw people in. But the third one is then there's this repository of amazing talks that talk about our values that might cross-pollinate each other that can be used to show the world who we are. And you mentioned Facebook promotion earlier, but I'm wondering what in a minute or two your vision is for getting these amazing UU talks that all these congregations will hopefully be producing and be high quality and awesome and say things about our values out to the world to say, hey, you look at Unitarian Universalists. What's the vision there?
And I'll just step in and say on a local level, we'll be teaching the congregations how to utilize local media outlets so that they can really engage their community that they're in to be able to become more and more aware. And so that's one level of outreach. And then, as Peter mentioned, Facebook and through the internet. And Peter, I'll let you speak more about the online content, how that will be reached.
Well, I think that one thing that'll help get this content out there is being sophisticated with the social media in terms of, say, when we're putting talks out, publishing talks and sharing via Twitter, knowing how to use the hashtags. And so like, if you have an amazing talk that's talking about some spiritual dimension of this and the other thing or gender issues, whatever it is, I think we're going to end up with content that's different than a lot of content out there. just by the nature of the kind of speakers we're curating, our congregations are lifting up. And my hope is that when we have speakers who are well prepared and coached and not speaking, because usually it's not from a text, you're delivering extemporaneously with a great live audience, that there's going to be an intensity and passion and energy around the delivery of this content that is just a little different than what people get. And so my hope is that coupled with good Facebook promotion and Twitter and hashtags, whatnot, it's going to take off. But then there's all those things like saying, here's this amazing content. As the project goes along and there's more and more funding for the support of the distribution, you could have someone who is doing proactive outreach and writing to, like, or here's a big magazine or, I mean, online magazine or a blog, or someone who has a huge following who cares about this, letting them know about this talk. You know, as we go, I think if people are loving what we're doing and there are more and more patrons signing on to fund the distribution of each talk, we can just continually build how we're doing that, how much money and time is going into the distribution of that content, just organically over time.
It's way cool. We're coming to the end of our hour. Anything that you guys haven't gotten to say that you or that you wanted to be sure to say?
How can you get involved? If someone listening wants to organize a UU Talk, Twinkle, what should they do?
They should go to uutalks.org, and they should also go to our Facebook.
Facebook.com/uutalks.org. Is that right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you so much, you guys. Your enthusiasm is really exciting to see. And I think this is really, as Peter said, people have been asking, they've asked me for this a bunch of times too. I think people are going to be really excited to see this. Next week, we have Reverend Jennifer Butler, who's the Executive Director of Faith in Public Life in Washington, D.C. She's been heading up the Moral Resistance with interfaith groups going over to Supreme Court, Capitol Hill, talking about what's going on. She's going to give us the view from the interfaith community there in Washington, D.C. Thanks a lot, everybody.
This has been a podcast of The View, brought to you by the Church of the Larger Fellowship. To find out more about the CLF, visit questformeaning.org.